That was the words of Micah, actually God speaking through Micah the prophet. And let me just recap a few things with you, and I'm going to try to go through this quickly for you this morning. When God sent prophets in the Old Testament, by the way, John the Baptist was a prophet also, and he's recorded in the New Testament. And I still believe God sends prophets to his church. But when God sends prophets, they have a twofold function, and that is to call people back to God through repentance of sin. Now, if you're here this morning and you think you have nothing to repent of, let me just say to you, read the Ten Commandments and see how far you get, all right? You're not going to get very far. We all are sinners. There's no question about it. We're born with that rebellious nature. The other function of prophets is to tell people that if they don't repent, God is going to do what? He's going to bring judgment. And when God judges, he starts with his own people first. And then he brings judgment to the wider world, if I could put it that way. So, here's the problem we get into in our Western culture. The problem is simply this. We believe that God needs to do things our way. Isn't that true? We believe God needs to do things our way. Let me give you some examples. If I'm doing all the right things, which we don't do, if we're honest, right? If I do all the right things, if I come to church, if I teach Sunday school, if I do this, if I do that, then God's going to make life work the way I want it. Does anybody think that? Okay. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. It's just not biblical. Okay. When we say that we put our hope in Christ and we need hope, what we are saying basically is God, life gets crazy sometimes. You know why life gets crazy? Because sin makes life crazy. Isn't that true? When we rebel against God's known will, when we rebel against his word, the Bible calls that sin, and sin is the root of evil, right? And so what happens? That's when people get in their cars drunk and they hit another person and kill them. That's evil. And that person didn't do anything wrong. And you say, well, why did God allow it? The answer to that question is, I don't know. But God is a God that lets us endure the consequences of evil. Because sometimes there's no other way to learn. Isn't that true? Okay? So what we have to do is adjust our thinking a little bit and hear the words of Micah and say, okay, let's get rid of the myth that life is going to be a bowl of cherries, you know, if we follow Christ. If anything, it's life gets more complicated when we follow Christ, doesn't it? So let's get rid of that myth. Let's get rid of the myth that things are going to go our way, the way we want them to go, and life just doesn't happen like that. So when you turn on the news or you hear things that happen even in our local community, and you start to scratch your head and you say, is there any hope? Is there any hope? It's a valid question. Is there any hope? The answer is yes. There is hope. But here's where we go wrong. Instead of placing our hope in the one who is able to deliver what true hope is, we look for hope in all the wrong places, right? We look to hope, in government leaders. We look to hope in systems. We look to hope in something. Somebody once wrote that people can be so fickle, we can believe in a doorknob that would give us hope. That's a radical form of what idolatry is, isn't it? You make a god out of some object, and that's going to bring us hope. And the reason this is important is because you and I don't know what tomorrow brings. The fact of the matter is, we don't know what the next hour is going to bring. Isn't that true? How quick life can change, even in a moment. We all know that, and some of us who have been around. And I don't misunderstand. What I'm saying here is it's good to plan. It's good to have a plan to go forward and have goals and all. That's all well and good. But realize, ultimately, we can't control everything. We just can't. But God's in control. I want to read you a statement. This is by the famous author Anonymous, okay? Here's a statement. It has been said that man can live about 40 days without food, about three days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. Did you ever meet a hopeless person? I mean, if somebody is hopeless and they have nothing on which to base their hope, it's a tough situation. Now, A.W. Tozer once said that when he walked down 42nd Street in New York back in the 50s, late 40s, early 50s, he could tell who the Christ followers were. And here's how he could do it. The ones who didn't smile, the ones who looked down, and his commentary on it was simply this. We have the greatest hope in the world. Why aren't we smiling? And he's not talking about plastic smiles. We all go through tough times. But you know, when we have our hope focused in the right direction on the right person, his name is Jesus Christ, then we can smile from the inside out, even when we're going through difficult things. Isn't that true? And so, there's a difference between false hope and true hope and authentic hope. As a Christ follower, Christ motivates us from the future. Why is it so important that we believe what the Bible says, that he's coming again? Why is that so important? Can somebody tell me? I'm sorry? Hope, right? He's coming again. Why is he coming again? The passage that Lorraine read for you, in that passage, Micah says he's coming to set all things right. Isn't that great? He's going to right the wrongs, and once and for all, he's going to set all things right. What does that mean? Everybody's going to be accountable at that point, right? Sin's going to be dealt its penalty, and those who have followed Christ are going to receive what? Their reward. Okay? So you understand why that's so important. That's why I can say to people when they ask me about, you know, the election coming up, or well, let me put it to you this way. Let's take even the election out of the picture for a second. People go through health crises, right? We have some our own people going through health issues. We have people who lose loved ones. We have people who go through painful divorces. We have people who lose jobs for no apparent reason. We have people who unfortunately are dealing with addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions. We have all these people. No one escapes this life without two things: arthritis and pain. Right? The question is, how do we get through that? The question is, how do we get through that? Listen to me. You can try to run from it. That doesn't work. You can try to deny it. That doesn't work. You can try to escape from it through drugs, alcohol, entertainment, sex outside of marriage. You name it. You try to escape from it. Guess what? When you're done escaping, guess what's still there? You know, the issue. The issue is, how do you respond to it? And it has to be, I need to trust God through this journey. I need to, even though I don't understand what's happening, I need to trust that God knows what he's doing and he's in control. What does that mean? That means two things. First, no matter what the circumstances, we need to stay obedient. That's what the Jews did not do during Micah's time. They didn't stay obedient to the Lord. They started to put their hope in idols. They even started to bring prostitutes into the worship center. Can you imagine that? Taking, you know, saying that it's okay to have prostitutes in the worship center. You have all of this stuff going on, and God says enough is enough. Enough is enough. Listen. Mike is talking about, I believe, a threefold prophecy, if I could talk and say that. He was dealing, he was talking for God to a divided kingdom that was right on the verge of judgment because of their sin. And he's saying, repent, come back, or God is going to disperse you. You're going to be captives for a lot of years until you deal with the sin. And then he's going to reclaim you. What does that mean for us? Because you say, okay, we live in the United States. So, you know, what's the big deal here? Here's the big deal. The principles are still the same. That we think that God will continue to tolerate our sin when, oh, thank you, Alexis. When in fact, there's going to come a day of reckoning. Not only for us in the congregation, but for our country. Why do I say that? If we continue to go down the path that we are going, and we continue to tolerate sin that we know is wrong, if the country continues to try to get God out of the picture, then we're setting ourselves up for some bad times. Excuse me for a second. So what do we do in the interim? Here's what we do in the interim. Whether you're going through deep waters personally, whether as a country we might be in for some hard times, whatever the situation is, here's what we need to do. We need to, by faith, come before God and say, Lord, reveal in me if there's anything I need to confess of to you right now, anything that I need to repent of, anything, Father, that is holding me back from my walk with you. Well, you know how he does that sometimes. Sometimes it's through that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's through a song. Sometimes it's by hearing and reading the Word of God, most times. Sometimes it's that gentle tap on the shoulder from the Holy Spirit saying, you know what you're doing is not right. It's sin. And the people of God, those who are followers of Christ, need to repent, confess, walk by faith, because we know one day, even though life may not go well for us here, that one day Christ is coming back again to make it all right. Now, will you and I be alive to see it? I don't know. It makes almost no difference. You know why? Because the bottom line in all of this is that whether you and I are here or not, and that's God's business, right? I don't know. Whether you and I are here or not, then we are going to come back with him and reign with him. That's what the scripture says. How awesome is that going to be? And so you get a glimpse of Micah talking to the present situation and even the first coming of Christ, because in Micah 5, where Lorraine ended, it says, out of Judea is going to raise up a root of who? Jesse. That's a prophecy of the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that came true 2,000 years ago, didn't it? So, let me just appeal to the logic of your mind. When Jesus came to this earth, and he invaded history through Mary in that miraculous birth. People were looking for the Messiah to come. They kept looking. Problem was they were looking for a different type of Messiah. They were looking for a militant Messiah who was going to come as somebody waging war against the enemies of Israel And so when Jesus came on the scene and he was the Messiah who was a suffering Messiah, a Messiah who would have to die for the sins of people, they couldn't quite get it. But here's the logic. There are so many prophecies about the first coming of Christ that came true. And there are so many prophecies about the second coming of Christ, and they will come true. Why? Because of God's character. And here's why we can base our hope in him. Because God cannot lie. God has infinite power and authority. And when God says something, he's going to do it. He's not going to wait for our timetable. He has his own timetable. Ours is not perfect. His is perfect. Ours tends to be more selfish. His is unselfish. I'll be honest with you. I believe there's going to be a time of tribulation for the church. And I'm putting my hope in the fact that the rapture is true. You know, I don't want to be here for that. I'm sure if I'm alive, I'm sure you don't want to be here for that. So I have to, on my best days, I have some selfish motives. You probably do too. However, I have to put my hope in the prophecies that just as sure as God came the first time in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Jesus is coming back again, but this time not as a savior, but this time as the conquering king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's going to make every injustice right. And he will put an end to the period that I believe we're in now, generally speaking, where we call evil good and good evil. And it will be a time, the passage says, where he sets up a literal physical kingdom in Jerusalem. And people from the earth will be attracted to him. And he will rule from that place. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we will rule with him. Imagine, that's the promise, that we will rule with. I can't imagine it. I would be happy to be a custodian or somebody who opens the door. I can't even imagine, because my mind is still affected by sin. You know, I can't imagine having that clear thinking where I'm going to rule with Christ. You're going to rule with Christ. That should scare you, you know? I mean, it scares me, but it's going to happen somehow. And, I'll put money in the bank on it because God said it. One of the things there was a bumper sticker that came out a couple of years ago, probably more than a couple of years ago, because I lose track of time now. And it said, if God said it, that settles it. Okay, if God says it, it's settled. It's settled. There are mockers today who say, well, God's been, Jesus has been promising to come back for a lot of years. That mentality comes from a misreading of the scriptures, because Paul, from the time of Jesus' crucifixion and the resurrection and his first coming, used this phrase a lot in his letters. He said, in these last days. Remember that? In fact, Micah uses it, right? In these last days. The fact of the matter is, since the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, we are in the last days. Where we get in trouble is that we want to know exactly when Jesus is coming. Because here's our thinking, if we're honest with ourselves. Not everybody, but we fall into this. It's like when the boss is away at work and, you know, you kind of take it easy a little bit. You know, you may play a game on a computer, a crossword puzzle. But if the boss comes back, well, you got to be busy working again. We, even as believers, sometimes fall into this mentality, especially when we're trying to deny or hide sin. It's not coming back for a long time, so we're okay. Well, the fact of the matter is nobody knows when he's coming back again. I don't. You don't. And Scripture talks about, especially in books like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Scripture says, listen, we don't know when he's coming back. We are in the last days. And Jesus even says, here's what you need to do. And Jesus said that he wasn't privy to that information when he was on earth. Here's what you need to do, gang. Church, expect him here today. And if you expect him here today, live like he's coming back today. And then you have nothing to worry about. In fact, Paul says it this way. God forbid that you're found sleeping when he comes back. Be alert. Do what we're supposed to do, not in our own power, but by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. What are we supposed to do? It's all in here. It's all in here. God knows what he's talking about. I'm skipping over a little of this only for time factor because I know it's getting late. But if you have access to a computer, my outline is on there. You can go into more detail on this, but listen to me. Our hope should be in Christ and Christ alone. And Christ always leads us from the future. Always. He always leads us from the future. There's a promise in Micah that Israel will be rescued. And that's a true promise. Israel will be rescued again. Where the Jews will be regathered and there'll be a great time of them coming to know Christ. That will happen. But for us, the promise to us was that there will be a Messiah, a Redeemer, that has already happened. Isn't that true? And now for us, there's the promise of forgiveness and eternal life and holy living, even though we still live in a world that is ruled by evil and sin. The Messiah will invade a small town called Jerusalem. That's what he did when he was born, right? But when he comes back again, guess where he's coming back to? Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem, lived in that area, but he's coming back again to Jerusalem physically to establish his kingdom. That's a sure thing. That's a sure thing. When he returns again, he will be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It will be a time when Christ rules the earth righteously. Do you realize that no matter who it is that leads us as a country, no matter who it is that leads us in the local government, no matter who it is that leads us in any capacity, we're still just sinful people. And we probably will make mistakes. We probably will not do things totally right. That's a sure bet. But God always does. So when I get somebody who comes to me because they have lost a loved one, and they say, how am I going to get through this? And I never want to result to cliches or anything like that. I usually just listen, but when the right opportunity comes up, very simple, I say, as best as you can, you have to trust Jesus. He'll get you through. As best as you can. Did you ever see the cat, the picture of the cat hanging on the branch by his claws? It says, hang in there, baby. There's going to be times like that. You hang in there, baby. Just keep trusting Jesus, even though it doesn't make sense. When I have somebody who goes through a messy divorce, when I have somebody who's facing cancer, who's facing illness, man, all I can do is point you to the grace of Jesus Christ and his promises. And how much, as a pastor, I would love to take your pain away, I can't do that. Only God can. Only God can help you work through it. But there's a provision for that. We need to stay faithful to him, and we need to be obedient in love to what he wants us to do through his word. I don't know. How many of you ever read Dostoevsky? We have one. Yeah. I know Sharon had. Anybody? If you've never read Dostoevsky, Billy, you have, right? You need to pick some of his books up. This man had incredible insight into human character. He's also a believer. And he writes this. To live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness. He goes on to say that it is no accident that above the entrance of Dante's Inferno or Dante's Hell is the inscription, "Leave behind all hope, you who enter here." Oof. There can be no authentic hope without the sure promises of God. If you're here this morning and you haven't put your trust in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what does that mean? That means that you know, join the human race, that basically we're rebels against God. And you know that continuing that path is not right, not good, and it's going to have serious consequences. Bible says the wages of sin is death. What's death? Eternity in hell without the hope of ever seeing God again. That's the definition of death. But Jesus came to give you hope. He died for you on the cross so you can be forgiven. Not by good works, but just by simple faith in what he did for you on the cross. Knowing that he went in your place to pay your penalty on the cross. We're forgiven of our sin, past, present, and future. That doesn't give us the right to live any way we want. But now, out of love for what Christ did for us, we want to live to please him. He secured our salvation. And in response, we want to please him. We put our hope in the one that's worthy of it. And then when we encounter life and all its hurts and all its injustices, we continue to put our hope in the one that can help us navigate through it. By his grace, by his power, and his love. One of the great things for me as a pastor, because I am 64 years old, and my prayer for myself is that God help me grow old gracefully. That sounds strange. There's something special about people who grow old gracefully. We try to beat it, don't we? Botox, hair coloring, you know, surgeries. We try to beat it. But no matter how good you look on the outside, guess what? You're growing old on the inside, all right? And people who grow old gracefully, walking by faith with God, are incredibly influential. Incredibly influential. And you will not see anybody who has grown ungracefully who hasn't gone through the fire. They've had some tough times in their lives. And the thing is, they've learned from those tough times, not only about themselves, but they learn to depend more each day on the grace of Jesus Christ to get them through. That is such a beautiful thing. If you find a person like that, man, you just glean from them their wisdom and their knowledge. God gives us life to enjoy. But when we enjoy it his way, it makes a big difference. So if I could just end with this, and we're going to put you to work singing in just a minute. There's an old hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Do you remember? And his righteousness. There's a phrase in there that says, all other hope is what? Sinking sand. No matter how the elections turn out, no matter what tomorrow brings, no matter any of that, remember this. If you can say this and really mean it, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Then you're on the right track. You're on solid ground. That's the name of the hymn, isn't it? Solid ground. You're on solid ground. Christ alone. I mean, there's so many hymns, you know, and songs, praise songs that talk about this. Christ alone, grace alone. It's another song we do. Man, we have to start listening to God. God's been trying to get our attention, I believe, for the last 25 years. In a lot of ways. When I say our attention, I'm talking about the church. Listen, it's time for revival. It's time for confession. It's time for repentance. And it's time for us to lovingly go out and tell people that we have the message of the greatest hope in the universe. And his name is Jesus Christ. Praise team, would you come up, please?